From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're going to go to our callers in just a moment, but before we do, I want to talk about a special offer that I have for you. Every year, lots of packages find their way to our doorsteps. And were it not for 7 points of identification, they might well end up somewhere else. 7 points separate you and I from 6 billion other options. Our name, our number, our street, our city, our state, our zip code, and our country. And in like fashion, there are prophecies that identify Jesus Christ as the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. And I've made those memorable. I've associated them with the first 7 letters of the alphabet. His ancestry, A, was marked, and his birthplace, B, foretold. Circumstances surrounding his death were prophesied before crucifixion, C, was invented. The date, D, the date of his visitation, was predicted within historically narrow time parameters. He had to come after Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, and before the destruction of Jerusalem. He would work extraordinary miracles, the E. He would fulfill the law and the prophets, the F. And it would be too small for him to bring back only those of Israel. Thus, he would be a light for the Gentiles, the G, so that salvation would go out to the ends of the earth. Only the hand of God could have etched a prophetic portrait of the Christ in the old, and only God could cause it to take on flesh in the new. Only Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the unique superstar, could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. And in my booklet, Jesus, the superstar of biblical prophecy, I'll show you exactly why you can be so certain that Jesus is the only person in all of history who could be Messiah. Jesus, the superstar of biblical prophecy, places major Old Testament prophecies about Jesus Christ right at your fingertips. In fact, right on the tip of your tongue. In order to equip you to share the truth persuasively with anyone who asks. And it's yours today as my heartfelt thank you for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I wanted you to have these important proofs in an easy to carry, easy to remember, easy to assimilate format. And I might be writing these kinds of materials, but remember, it's your generosity, it's your prayer that make it all work. Your gift today will help more people put the pieces together. Recognize that Jesus is the only possible Messiah. So together, we can work to answer the deepest questions thousands of people have about Christ and Christianity. The ancestry of Jesus Christ, that in itself, the A, beginning with Adam and Eve, like the elimination bracket of a wrestling tournament, reduces the contenders so that out of all of humanity, the Messiah must be the second son of Abraham, the second son of Isaac, the fourth son of Jacob. He has to be of the house and lineage of David. Until, of course, only Jesus stands confirmed in a lineage even his opponents couldn't deny. Again, the superstar of biblical prophecy, the booklet available to you, please send your gift today to touch the lives of more men, women, and children, just as your life has been touched. And don't forget, as you ask for us to pray for you, we ask for you to pray for us. That when you ask for Jesus, the superstar of biblical prophecy, don't forget to send in your best gift today to help this ministry to continue touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. Again, the booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, available to you for your gift to the ongoing ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's memorable, it's poignant, it's profound, it's powerful. They can touch the lives of real people for time and for eternity, but not only that, shore up your faith in Jesus Christ as the superstar of biblical prophecy. Again, available on the web at equip.org, through the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and through our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Alec. Is listening on the web in Fredericktown, Ohio. Hi, Alec.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
My question just applies to Jesus' miracles, like in the New Testament, like him walking on water and turning water into wine and such. Like some people say they're spiritual allegories, and some others say that they're literal physical events. What do you say about that?
Well, they're literal, physical, real miracles that happen in history, in time and space. And for a biblical Christian, that's no problem whatsoever. In fact, I would say for a thinking person anywhere, it's no problem whatsoever. Why? Because reality in the 21st century demands the supernatural. When we say God spoke and the universe leapt into existence, we're invoking miracle. We're saying God created ex nihilo. God created everything that is out of nothing. Well, the only other option is that nothing creates everything, which is philosophically and theologically implausible. So a biblical worldview begins with an open mind. It says we can allow for both natural and supernatural explanations for what we encounter in a real space-time continuum.
Thank you. What makes, like, if someone does come up to me and say, like, oh, that was just a spiritual metaphor, like, what biblical proof do you think I can give that, like, what makes you convinced that it is, like, an actual event and not just an allegory?
Well, let's start with the miracle of all miracles, which is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is something that the disciples of Jesus Christ were willing to testify to the point of shedding their own blood for, which is to say, because of the resurrection, which happened in time and history, the disciples themselves were willing to face the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of 1,000 deaths, because they had seen the resurrected Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul doesn't say, look, believe the myth, it'll help you feel better in this life. But he says, what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. In other words, the death of Jesus Christ is historically verifiable, that the tomb was empty. In other words, Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ, that Jesus Christ appeared and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive, and Paul points out that most of the people to whom Christ appeared are still alive and available to be cross-examined. And then he says that the Jesus Christ who appeared transformed the lives of the disciples in such a transcendent way that they were willing to give up everything to proclaim the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which also meant that they too would rise. So this is a cumulative case that is built for a historical resurrection that took place in a real time-space continuum, not just a myth. I'm going to have to leave it at that. I've written about this in a lot of different places, including my book, Has God Spoken? We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand." To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical, but we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is George, listening in San Francisco, California. Hi, George.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I was just wondering about something. This goes back to at least the late 19th century, but it's become popular since at least the 1950s. It seems as that every few years, there's a new English translation of the Bible coming out. You know, going back, you know, you have the English version, English Revised, the American Standard, Revised Standard Version, NIV, the Good News, American Standard. Why is it there are so many different versions?
Well, there are different translations. There are formal equivalencies. There are dynamic equivalencies. And the reason that we have newer translations, like the New King James Version, for example, is because there is an evolution, first of all, in language. For example, there are many things in the KJV that most people would not understand simply because words go through an evolution over time. So what was once denotative now is connotative. In other words, it's taken on the barnacles of time. Therefore, the newer translations, like the New King James Version, takes the connotative word and turns it back into a denotative word so that the average person can understand it. Secondly, there's a progress in our knowledge and understanding of the original biblical languages since the King James Version was commissioned in 1604 and completed in 1611. As a result, errors in the KJV have been corrected. For example, the word PIM, P-I-M, was thought to be a file that was used to sharpen tools. But as a result of archaeological discoveries in the 20th century, we know that it refers instead to the price for sharpening tools. And the third reason, of the significant reasons that could be mentioned, is that there has been a discovery of a plethora of better and earlier manuscripts, and that kind of manuscript evidence demonstrates conclusively that certain inclusions in the King James Version were unwarranted. So they were scribal gloss or additions that were made to the text, and therefore, through what's called the tenacity of the text, which is a direct function of a lot of manuscripts, the autograph emerges. And so the autograph is encapsulated in the many manuscripts that we have, almost 6,000 in the New Testament alone. So those are the three major reasons why the newer translations are not only warranted but necessary. I certainly love the King James Version, but again, since 1604, when it was first commissioned by King James I, until the present, there are reasons that warrant newer translations. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Albert. He's listening in Anderson, California. Hi, Albert.
Hi. Before I get to my question, can I make a brief response to the first caller about were the miracles literal? So Acts 2:22, it says in reference, the Apostle Peter's talking to the Israelites, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. So this is clearly historical context. I just wanted to add that, if that's okay.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, that's Acts 2:22 he could look at. Now, my question is, I believe God is infinite, but I was kind of wondering, does that would mean that God has an infinite mind, and does that mean that there are aspects or parts of God's mind that he is unable to access because of the infinity of his mind?
No, absolutely not. God is omniscient, so God knows all things at all times. In fact, God is unbounded by time as the transcendent God who's omnipotent, omniscient, the one who is all-powerful and all-knowing. And so there's nothing that is outside of God's immediate knowledge. And again, as one unbounded by time, we have a hard time relating because we think chronologically and fail to recognize that for God, chronological time is not an issue. God not only can think chronologically, but chirologically as well.
Well, when you say he's omniscient, I understand that to mean he knows everything in the created finite universe. But when we're talking about God's mind, how can he know everything in his mind if it's infinite, if it keeps going on and on and on and on? I mean, because right when he gets to the end, there is no end. It just keeps going.
Well, a couple of things, just in terms of definitions. God is omniscient, which means that he knows every true proposition and believes no false proposition. God knows himself directly, simply, and perfectly. Furthermore, we should make clear that God is not infinite in a quantitative sense, but in a qualitative sense. So when we talk about God, I think it is really important to get our definitions straight because virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. When we go back to the phone lines, we'll talk to James in Lebanon, Missouri. Hi, James.
Hi, how are you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I just had a question. If you could just elaborate a little bit, I just want to know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe about hell.
Well, Jehovah's Witnesses believe in annihilationism, which happens to be very, very popular in today's world. Annihilationism is gaining steam, unfortunately. So it's not just...
Does that mean, you know, when you die, you just cease to exist?
Yeah, you're annihilated. Yep.
That's not even a punishment, though.
Well, it is considered by Jehovah's Witnesses to be the fate of those that die, that they end up being annihilated. And, you know, of course, they have an idea of what's going to happen prior to the annihilation because there are two classes of people. There's a heavenly class in the Jehovah's Witness idea, and there's an earthly class.
One more question real quick. Well, I was talking to one day, and he made it sound like, you know, I asked him if, you know, he had repented of his sins and asked Jesus to be his Savior. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, I've got Jesus, but you have to be ready. And he kept saying, you have to be ready over and over, you know, and that's what I was thinking. Well, how does he believe in Jesus is the way or a lot of the other stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses vociferously reject the Orthodox teaching on hell. Yeah, that's the bottom line. And they denounce it as an error of apostate Christendom. So if you're someone that is destined for hell, you end up getting annihilated. If you're someone that goes to heaven, you have to be one of the 144,000. Otherwise, you belong to the earthly class.
Now, do they believe that if basically you're just not living right, that you're going to be annihilated? You've got to be like, you know, being, I know you can't be perfect, but I guess being as close to perfect as you can, or?
Well, what they believe is that all Christians will spend eternity. If you are one of the 144,000 people, you'll make it to heaven. The rest of the faithful will live apart from Christ on earth. So in Watchtower lore, there's a little flock of 144,000 who get to go to heaven and then a great crowd of others who are relegated to earth. The heavenly class are born again. They receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They partake of communion. The earthly class, they don't. And to substantiate the notion that heaven's door was closed irrevocably in 1935, they point to flashes of prophetic light. And this was light received through Rutherford at a Jehovah's Witness convention in Washington, D.C., I believe. And of course, other false flashes of prophetic light, which include the Watchtower prediction of end-time cataclysms, which were to occur in 1914, 1918, 1925 as well as 1975. So they are, and this is one point I'd like to make in closing, they are often willing to do more for a lie than Christians are willing to do for the truth. And so these and a host of other doctrinal perversions keep Jehovah's Witnesses from rightly being considered Christian, but also become a reminder that we can use their deviations as springboards or opportunities for sharing the grace and truth and life that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. Again, I've written about this in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or call 888-7000-CRI. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you right here tomorrow, Lord willing, with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.